All right, so let's dive into this research on wearable health tech.
Okay.
We're talking about the MotionSense HRV,
Yeah.
which is a device that's trying to be more than just a step counter.
Right.
And we've got two studies to unpack here.
Okay.
One that looks at the motion sense in everyday life, and the other one that puts it to the test in a controlled lab.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is that both of these studies compare the motion sense to measurements from what we consider like the gold standard devices in the field.
So for anyone who wants to track their activity and health,
Right.
these studies can give us a pretty good look at how this new tech stacks up against the tried and true methods.
Yeah.
But first, let's break down what this MotionSense HRV actually is.
It's a wrist-worn device that was developed by the MD2K,
MD2K.
which stands for the National Center of Excellence for Mobile Sensor Data to Knowledge.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, quite a mouthful.
Maybe they should work on a shorter acronym. But I'm curious, like, what makes this different from
Right.
all the other fitness trackers?
Well, it's packed with sensors like an accelerometer and gyroscope, which, many fitness trackers have. But it also has a PTG sensor,
PPG sensor.
which stands for photoplethysmography.
Okay, I'm gonna need a bit more on that one.
Okay.
PPG sensor.
So it measures your heart rate variability by shining light onto your skin and detecting the changes in blood volume with each heartbeat.
Okay.
And that can give you insights into things like stress levels and even sleep quality.
Interesting. So it's going beyond just like tracking your movement and steps.
Exactly. And all of this data is fed to an app called mCerebrum.
In Cerebrum.
Yeah, which gives you a comprehensive picture of your activity and sleep, stress, and potentially habits like smoking and eating.
So this could be a game changer for those of us who are really trying to
Yeah.
like get a good handle on our overall health and not just how many steps we're taking each day.
That's the idea. But the question is, how accurate is it?
Right.
That's where our first study comes in.
Okay.
This one looked at how the MotionSense HRV performed in a free living setting. So 20 adults wore both the MotionSense and the Actigraph GT9X, which is considered the gold standard for activity tracking, for a full week while going about their daily routines.
So like head-to-head competition in the real world, what did
Exactly.
they find?
The results were pretty impressive. The two devices showed incredibly strong correlations when it came to measuring things like time spent sedentary and light activity, moderate to vigorous activity, and overall activity levels. We're talking correlation coefficients between 0.95 and 0.99, which is statistically very, very strong.
That's a pretty convincing argument for the motion sense,
Right.
at least when it comes to like tracking activity in our everyday lives.
Right.
But I'm guessing it wasn't quite as straightforward in the lab setting.
That's right. In the second study, the same participants wore the MotionSense HRV while performing a set of 12 specific activities in a controlled lab environment. So this time, the comparison wasn't against the Actigraph, but against a Cosmed K5.
Cosmed K5.
Yeah, it's a device that measures energy expenditure through breath analysis, essentially the gold standard for calorie burn measurement.
So they really upped the ante with this second test.
Right.
Yeah, comparing it to a device that measures your actual calorie burn in real time,
Yeah,
that's a pretty high bar.
definitely. And this is where things get interesting.
Oh, really?
While the motion sense performed well overall, there were some
What
discrepancies.
kind of discrepancies?
It seemed to overestimate sedentary behavior and intense activity and actually underestimate light activity. In
Interesting.
fact, the correlation coefficient for light activity was only negative 0.03.
Wow, that's almost no correlation at all.
Yeah.
And that's a stark contrast to those high correlations we saw in the free living part of the study. What do you make of that difference?
Well, it highlights a key challenge when it comes to accurately tracking light activity.
Okay, I'm ready to unpack this challenge because I imagine a lot of us are interested in understanding our light activity levels.
Yeah.
Is it simply that their device isn't sensitive enough?
It might be partially due to the limitations of a wrist-worn device, but it's actually more complicated than that. And that's what we'll explore next.
So we're talking about these challenges of accurately tracking light activity.
Right.
What makes it so tricky?
Well, part of the problem is the very definition of light activity. It's kind of a gray area, even for researchers. Think about it, even just standing still can involve like tiny shifts in weight and muscle activation.
Yeah, you're right. I'm standing here right now,
Right.
and I can feel like my leg muscles kind of subtly engaging.
Yeah.
Just to keep me upright.
Exactly. And a wrist-worn device might pick those up.
Uh-huh.
And potentially register it as light activity.
Okay.
Even though from a practical standpoint,
yeah,
you're essentially sedentary.
So that could explain why the motion sense was overestimating
right.
sedentary behavior in the lab setting.
Yeah.
It's picking up on those like micro movements.
Exactly.
That we make even when we're relatively still.
Uh-huh. And on the flip side, certain types of light activity might not involve a lot of wrist movement.
Right.
Making it harder for the device to capture them accurately.
This makes me think about things like typing or even cooking.
Yes.
Where your arms are moving, but maybe not in a way that like registers strongly on a wrist-worn device.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
And that could contribute to the underestimation of light activity that we saw in the lab study.
Okay, so what does this all mean for someone who's like specifically interested in tracking their light activity?
Right.
Should we be skeptical of these devices altogether?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
While the study does highlight some limitations, it's important to remember that the Motion Sense HRV was still pretty accurate overall.
Okay.
Especially in the free living setting.
Yeah.
Which is arguably more representative of how most people will actually use it.
Right. So it seems like it's a good tool for getting like a general sense of
yeah.
your activity patterns throughout the day.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that technology is always evolving.
Right.
These researchers are already exploring ways to improve the algorithms.
Okay.
By incorporating data from the other sensors on the device.
Speaking of which, we haven't really talked about the gyroscope and what that brings to the table.
That's a good point. Mm. The gyroscope measures angular motion.
Okay.
So it can provide information about the direction and orientation of your movements.
Okay.
Something that like a basic accelerometer can't do.
So it's adding like another layer of detail.
Exactly.
To the picture of how your body's moving.
Uh-huh. And then there's the heart rate data.
Right.
Which, as we discussed, is collected through that PPG sensor.
Right. So you've got data on movement.
Yeah.
Heart rate.
Yep.
And potentially even things like stress and sleep.
Exactly.
I'm really starting to see the potential of this device.
Yeah.
Especially as the technology continues to advance.
And what's fascinating is that the researchers actually suggest that incorporating heart rate data into the algorithms
uh-huh.
could be particularly helpful for activities that don't involve a lot of arm movement.
Ah. So that could be the key to unlocking more accurate measurements for activities like cycling.
Exactly.
Which I mentioned earlier, where your legs are doing all the work, but your wrist is relatively still.
Precisely. And the study authors even mentioned that incorporating data from GPS, since the motion sense is paired with your smartphone,
uh-huh.
could further enhance activity tracking,
okay.
especially for outdoor activities.
Now we're talking about a truly comprehensive view
right.
of your movement and activity patterns,
uh-huh.
both indoors and out.
It's exciting to think about the possibilities, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
But it's also important to acknowledge that, like with any new technology,
right.
there are limitations in areas for improvement.
Right. And the researchers were transparent about that in their study.
Yes.
They pointed out that their sample size was relatively small
uh-huh.
and focused on a specific population.
Yes. And they also weren't able to measure any aquatic activities
right.
since the device isn't fully waterproof.
So there's still some unanswered questions.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what was their overall conclusion?
Despite the limitations, the researchers believe that the Motion Sense HRV has promising potential for both research and clinical applications.
Okay.
Particularly because it can be used to analyze not just activity, but also potentially stress smoking events
yeah.
and even eating habits.
It sounds like they see this as more than just a fancy fitness tracker.
Right.
It's a tool that can potentially help us understand our health and behavior on a much deeper level.
Exactly.
And that leads me to a question for you as someone who's been diving deep into this research. What aspect of this technology are you most excited about? Yeah, you touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
That this device, along with the Mescerebrum app,
mm-hmm.
could give us like a more holistic view
right.
of our health.
Yeah.
It's not just about counting steps or calories, but like
yeah.
understanding how all these different aspects of our lives are interconnected.
It's really fascinating to think about how this data could be used to create personalized interventions.
Okay.
Tailored to an individual's specific needs and habits.
Uh-huh.
Imagine getting real-time feedback and guidance
yeah.
based on your actual behavior,
right.
not just like generic recommendations.
And you mentioned earlier that the data could potentially be shared
right.
with researchers and clinicians
uh-huh.
That seems like it could revolutionize the way we approach healthcare.
It could lead to earlier detection of potential health issues,
yeah.
more targeted treatments, and even preventative strategies based on individual risk factors.
Right.
Of course, data privacy is a crucial consideration here.
Yeah, of course.
And ensuring that individuals have control over their data is paramount.
Absolutely. That's a conversation we definitely need to have.
Yeah.
Alongside these advancements.
Uh-huh.
But focusing on like the potential here.
Right.
Are there any specific examples of how this kind of technology is already being used?
Yeah.
Or could be used in the near future?
Sure.
To improve health outcomes?
Well, one area where this technology holds a lot of promise is in the management of chronic conditions.
Okay.
For example, imagine someone with diabetes using the MotionSense HRV to track their activity levels,
yeah.
sleep patterns, and even potentially their glucose levels.
Okay.
Through integrations with other devices.
So instead of relying solely on occasional checkups,
right.
they'd have like a continuous stream of data
yeah.
that could help them and their healthcare provider
yep.
make more informed decisions about their treatment plan.
Exactly. And that data could be used to identify patterns and trends,
uh-huh.
potentially even predicting and preventing complications
right.
before they arise.
That's a powerful idea, and it seems like this could be applied to like
yeah.
a wide range of health conditions, not just diabetes.
Absolutely. We're really just scratching the surface of what's possible.
Yeah.
Another exciting area is in the field of mental health.
Oh.
Researchers are exploring how wearable sensors can be used to detect changes in mood,
uh-huh.
stress levels, and even sleep patterns,
okay.
which can be early warning signs for conditions like anxiety and depression.
So it's like having an extra set of eyes, or rather sensors,
right.
looking out for your well-being.
Exactly.
Catching those subtle shifts that you might not even be consciously aware of.
It's all about empowering individuals to take a more proactive role in their own health and well-being.
Right.
Giving them the tools and insights they need to make positive changes.
This deep dive has certainly given me a lot to think about.
Yeah, me too.
What started as a simple question about the accuracy of a new fitness tracker
right.
has opened up like a whole new world of possibilities.
That's the beauty of research and innovation.
Yeah.
It often leads us down these unexpected paths,
yeah.
revealing connections and possibilities that we hadn't even considered.
And that's what we aim to do here on the deep dive.
Right.
To take a closer look at the research,
yeah.
unpack the findings, and explore what it all means for our listeners.
Absolutely.
So if you're intrigued by the potential of wearable health tech,
uh-huh.
I encourage you to do your own research.
Yeah.
Explore the available options and see what insights you can uncover about your own health and behavior.
Because as we always say,
knowledge is power.
Exactly.
And when it comes to your health,
right.
there's no better investment than in understanding yourself better.
I completely agree.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and stay curious.